Lord, we thank you tonight that we have the privilege to worship you and that we can enter into your throne room. And yes, Lord, we are humbled. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your body, Lord, that you gave for us. Thank you, Lord, that tonight you want to come and speak to each one of us, Lord. And we just open our hearts, Lord. We open our hearts to receive from you, Lord, to receive your word. Thank you that there's no fear, Lord, in your perfect love, Lord. But your love casts out all fear, Lord. Thank you for tonight, Lord, just that you come to take away, Lord, the veils of our eyes that we will see you, Jesus. We glorify you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also, guys, you're welcome to take your seat. Amen. Okay. I'm really excited for the word tonight. Can you just see quickly who's all the new people here tonight? The guests. Yes. Lekker. So happy that you are here. I'm really excited for the word tonight. I'm going to speak, share about where is God in my selfie. Isn't that cool? Where is God in my selfie? Okay, we all know we like to take selfies these days and selfie everything. But so where is God in my selfie? We speak a lot about these days, everything is just about. So I want to start by the beginning of August. Okay, so for those who don't know me, I'm Jacobus, and that's my name. But and I love Jesus. He's awesome. So the beginning of August, we went to Pretoria there, and we went there. We have a school of worship in Pretoria. Who's all the people from Pretoria? Just let us see. Like a Pretoria, my ma and my pa. Oh, sorry. Joke. So we went to Pretoria for a school of worship, and it was awesome. And we started Friday night by worshiping. That's all we did the weekend. It was really amazing. And then the first session, the Lord said to me, asked me, Jacobus. He asked me this following question. Jacobus, who am I in your life? And I didn't know what to say. That really was such a big question the Lord asked me. And from that day, because I know the right answers, I said, Lord, but I know, like you say in your word, we sing the songs, Lord, you're everything, you're all I need, you're the provider, you're all the thing. But the Lord, he came right into my heart and he said, Jacobus, who am I in your life? And I want you to think about that quickly now before we go on. Who is the Lord in your life? Just think about that quickly. Who is God in your life? This tonight, here where you're sitting. See, because he can be, just after that, the Lord asked me the following question, Jacobus, who determined the way you're worshiping me? And you're reading your Bible, and you're praying, and you're doing all the Christian things. Because it can be so, it can be the church that learns me, this is the way you must worship, and this is the way you must hold your Bible, and this is the way you must walk into church. You see, all of these things, the people around you can teach you that. But I came to a place on that week, and I said, Lord, I want personal revelation from you. I don't want people to determine the way that I worship you, because we have been called to worship God. Amen. For those who don't know, we are here tonight to worship God. We are here to worship him because he's worthy of our praise and he's worthy of our worship. So over this month and over these couple of weeks, I was just asked the Lord these questions. Lord, come and reveal this to me. Come and reveal to me, who are you in my life? I want to know who you are in my life, because when I wake up in the morning, I want to say, yes, Jesus. Good morning, Jesus. Okay? Because so many mornings I wake up and then I'm like, oh, spirit of duvet, just go away from me. So I just want to sleep. And it's like, oh, I don't want to wake up. And then I look at my phone and like, oh, Facebook. And that's not right. Okay? If I say, Jesus, you're everything in my life, and you're my life, and you're my future, and you're everything, then the first thing that I must do when I get out of bed is fall on my knees and worship you. Do you understand? So there was this question in my life, said, Lord, something is not right in my life. And I'm really honest now before you guys tonight. I'm not, I said, Lord Jesus, yes, something is wrong in my heart. Something is wrong in my life that when I get up in the morning and even when I go to campus or drive in my car, you're not always on my thoughts and you're not always in my heart. You're not always the thing that I want to talk to, if you understand what I mean. Because that is what God has called us to. Okay? And we're going to look at that tonight. So, I'm excited. And I really trust the Lord will come and just stir us tonight and open our hearts for this word. So that when we walk out of this church tonight, that our lives will change. Because Jesus came, He didn't just came to die on the cross, He came to change our lives. And Jesus is the one that changes our lives, and He can change our lives tonight if we are open for it. Okay, awesome. So, as you can see here on the stage, the other night the Lord, the Holy Spirit waked me like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was, I want to sleep, but now I stood up, and the Lord just gave me what I believe, what I can say. If we are a Christian, then I believe this is what God must be in our life. Okay. If we say we are disciples of Christ and we follow Jesus, according to the scripture that I'll show you tonight, then I just feel like this is what the Lord says. Okay, guys, you want to follow me? Then this is who I must be in your life. Nothing else. There cannot be anything else. It's either this or it's nothing. So the Lord gave me this cool acronym. Is that the right word? Self. Everybody say self. Okay. So the first one, if we look at the self, S, so S stands for salvation. The Lord is my salvation. Everybody say salvation. Isaiah 12 verse 2, it says, behold, God is my, I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my. Yes, Yelesach. Why? Yes. Okay. So Jesus is my salvation. What does it mean if I say, okay, now remember God asked me, Jacobus, who am I in your life? Now I say, Jesus, you are my salvation. What does that mean if I say Jesus is my salvation? Let's go back to the story of the Israelites. You all remember that story. They were under slavery in Egypt. Eh? All the Israelites were lucky. I think they literally loved what they did. They were like slaves. They were whipped. They were stoned. I think it was the best job anyone could have. No, it could. It was very bad. They were in bondage. They were under slavery. Pharaoh came and his soldiers and they screamed at him. He says, hey, jy werk te stadig, dan sla nou met die sweep. Dit gaat nie lekker nie. So, now, hallelujah, God came to deliver the Israelites from Egypt into the promised land. Okay, wow. And that is what it means if I say Jesus is my salvation. Because exactly with us, we were in Egypt. Okay, the gospel in 1 second. We were all in Egypt. We were under slavery. We were in bondage. We were full of sin and everything. And then Jesus came and He is now my salvation. He is the bridge so that I can walk into the promised land. Okay, so that's the first thing that we must know, who God is in our life. He's our salvation. That's the first. If it's not our salvation, then we cannot know God. If there's not Jesus in our life, and if He's not my salvation, if He didn't save me from my sinful world and my fallen nature and all the stuff in my life, then I will not be able to know Him. Okay, so that's first of all. Look how beautiful is this next scripture in Ephesians 2. It speaks, but God, who is, everybody say, rich in mercy. Because of His great love. Everybody say, great love. With which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Everybody read that. By, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. This is the precious, most precious thing, most precious gift that God could ever give us. Okay? And that is that we can be called, that we can receive the salvation. Because now Jesus is my salvation. Amen? I go to the Father through Jesus because what He has did for me on the cross. Okay, so who is God firstly in your life? Is yourself? Salvation. What does it mean? He took us from Egypt, from bondage, from slavery, where we deserve to die, where we deserve to be in hell for the rest of our lives. That's what we deserved because of sin. Amen? Did you know that? And now we are in the promised land. Now we are children of God. We have been saved. We have been set free from our bondage. I want to say tonight, guys, Jesus has come to set you free. If you're still walking in bondage and you're still walking in that slavery like the Egyptians, Jesus came to take you out of that place. There's hope. You don't have to walk in that place. You don't have to walk in slavery and sin and cycles of sin in our life. Jesus came to deliver us from that. That is the finished work that He already came to complete for us on the cross. What must we do? What must we do? We must have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe this. Okay? We must believe. That is what faith is, to say, Lord, I believe this. I believe that I'm free from bondage, that I'm free from slavery, that I'm free from the darkness, but now I'm in the light. Okay. Awesome. Now the second one is everything. Everybody say everything. Why? Everything. If we go on with the SE. So everything is the second one. Philippians 3, verse 7. Now I just want to, before I read the scripture, this is where Paul. Now everybody know that Paul was like, in the Old Testament, he was like today we can say, he was like the dean of the theology faculty. Or something like that. He knew everything, okay? What is greater than that? I don't know. He was like really, he knew the law, the Jewish law. He read the scriptures. He was like the main man. If you wanted to know someone, you emailed him and he told you the right answer. You phoned him and you WhatsApped him and said, hey, Paul. But before he was Saul, he was like, hey, Saul, hey, what does this law mean? No, no, no. Then he will say, this is what it means. So he knew everything. Now he writes this. He came to Jesus. Jesus came and changed his life. And then he writes this. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So he says, listen now, guys. He says everything that was gained in his life. If you can measure it like with a budget. We all know a budget. You have the profit and then the loss column. Like what is good and then the loss. Is that right? Come back here. Okay, but he's like, he made a list and he said, okay, everything that is gained. So I'm very clever in the law. Everybody knows me. He made this list. He said, all of that things, nay? Look what he said. Yet indeed, verse 8, I also count all these things loss. He says, all of these great things, all of these amazing things. I'm president. I went to Oprah. Went to the moon, everything that was so cool. He said, listen, now I've counted as loss. Now the Greek word for that is dung, like poo, like wit, hond, poo, ons allemaal poo. That is what it literally means. Okay? That's how bad, that's how serious he was. He says like, oh, mense verstaan. Everything that I was cool, I walked as this awesome guy, as this Pharisee, I knew everything. That doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I count it like dung, like poo. Okay? Why? What is it now? What is now his profit? What does he want to do now? He says, okay? Yet indeed, verse 8, things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That is what he wants to do in this life. This is his goal. This is what he wants. Nothing of that old that the world says, because the world says, hey, luister, the world says, you must have a degree and you must know everything and you must be so clever and you must go to Oprah and I don't know what. But you must have all these followers on Instagram and so many friends on Facebook and all of these. But Paul says, listen, this is not how it works. If we look at the Bible, he says one thing he wants to know, and he wants to know Christ. That's it. That I may gain Christ. That's all that he lives for. That's all that he wants. So Christ was everything for him. Okay. Say yes. Christ was everything for Paul. Nothing in this world was everything for him. Just Jesus was everything. Everything for him. He lived a life that was completely set apart for Christ and for his kingdom. That was his goal on this life. He said, Jesus, Paul just said, I'm just here for one reason, and that is to see your kingdom come in people's lives. That was what Paul went after. He had a consecrated life towards God. And God, in the same way, Jesus is calling us for that life also. Because what did Paul say further? He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He says, look at my life as I looked at Christ's life. And this is the way that you must live. Everything that God has, Jesus was everything for Paul. And therefore, Jesus must be everything in our life. And what is the things that hinders us from God being everything in our life, from Jesus being everything in our life? Huh? We call it idols, like the idol show, hello. Ek wou idols gedoen het, ek het nie. I just remember one day my dad said, he doesn't like the name idols. Like the show, he doesn't like the name that is called idols. He says, why not? I couldn't understand it, but now I understand. Because idols is not good. That is the thing that keeps us from God being everything in our life. And quickly just think in your life, how do you measure if God is everything in your life? How do you measure that? I want to ask one question. What do you plan your day around? That determines who is everything in your life. What do you plan your day around? Is it getting to CrossFit? or is it getting to watch that movie or that series or must go on Facebook? How much time does Facebook and Instagram and all these things, social media, take in your life? What do you fill your life with? Just think about that. If you quickly can make a thing in your mind, you have 24 hours a day, about 8 hours you sleep. What do you do the rest of that hours with your life? How many hours do you watch series? Because that determines if God will be everything in our life. The thing that we fill our life with. Okay? Is it series? I was also a student. Like first year, that's all you do. You watch series. You watch movies. You play Xbox. You do all that stuff. And then you fill your day with all these things. And then that becomes your source. Okay? That things that you fill your life with, that becomes your source. And then Jesus cannot be everything in your life, because all of these things are in your life. And then, 10 seconds left. Okay, Jesus, I'll give you that 10 seconds of my day. Guys, this is hard, hey, to hear this word, but we need to hear this word. Okay, because listen what says 1 John 5 verse 21. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Keep away, Paul says. John, sorry. He says, listen. Keep away from all that things that can take the place of God in your heart. Because there's only space for God and Him alone. He cannot share it. Okay? God doesn't share His heart, of your heart, with other things. He cannot do that. It's either Him completely in your heart, or it's nothing. God will not come and say, hey, series, you like it? Like both chats in your heart with all the other goeders wat in your life is, nie. God says, listen, I'm a jealous God, and there's one God, and He is jealous for your heart and for everything in your heart. Okay. So, I hope that, yeah. So this is very important that you'll understand that. The next one is life. Everybody say life. So what is the S? Jesus is our. And the E. And then L is life. Awesome. Acts 20 verse 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Can you say that tonight? Can you say, listen, if I don't tell others the good news of God, my life means nothing to me. I say, if God asks me, Jacobus, who am I in your life? Then I'm going to say, Jesus, you are all my life. You are the one that I'm living for. You are the one that I'm going after. I'm not living this life to, because I'm not living. My purpose in life is not to get my degree and then to start working and then to get a wife and then get children and then see my children grow up and then sit with my beautiful wife at the sea one day and drink a coffee and look how the sun goes down. See, that's not my life. That's not why I'm living for. And if that is your life and that is what you think you're living for, then I say, whoa, you have to think again. Because Paul said, listen, if I cannot tell the good news to people, then I don't have time. Then I don't want to live. Then I don't want to live. Colossians 3 verse 3. For you die to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died to this life. The moment that you came and said, Lord Jesus, here is my life. What do we say? Lord, take my life. We come, huh? We go on camps. We come here in front of the church. We say, Lord, who wants to give their life to Jesus? Who heard that? Who have heard that? People said that. Raise your hand if you heard that. What does it mean if you say, who wants to give your life to Jesus? It means you are killing yourself. You say, I give my life away. No longer can I live my life the way that I want to live it. You respond to that. You say, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus. And amen, we must give our life to Jesus. But what does it mean if I give my life to Jesus? It means that I don't live any longer, ne? Do you agree with me? If I give my life away, then who must live in me now? It must be Christ living in me. Philippians 1, verse 21. Paul says, for to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better. Whoa. Paul is radical, eh? He says, for me to live is Christ. And to die, hey, that's even better. If I want to die, it's great because then I will go to Jesus. But he knew that his purpose here on this life, by being still alive, is so that the kingdom can come. That was his life. That's what he's living for. What are you living for when you're sitting here tonight? What are you living for? Are you living for just to get a husband? All the girls are so paranoid. Oh, if I don't get a husband, then what are going to happen to me? What are you living for? Come on. You must answer that. You can answer that. Just think, what are you living for? We are on this earth and we have two questions. The one is, who am I? And the second one is, what am I living for? That is the two questions that every normal person have. Okay. We all want to know what is my destiny, where am I going to, and who am I? Now, so while I was busy just like praying to God and asking, Lord, just come and show me, reveal to me who are you in my life. The one morning when I prayed, I went to the disciples and the apostles in the Bible and just looked how they lived their life. Now these guys, they knew this, okay? They knew who God was in their life and they were not confused about that. And they went into this world and they changed this world, and until today we still see the fruit of them, okay? Because they were so radical and They had no fear of man, and they would stand before people, and people will throw them at stones, and they will tease them, and they will say all stuff for them, and still they will preach the gospel of Jesus. Nothing stopped them. Nothing stopped them. And so I looked, I just quickly went to see how some of them died at the end. And each one of them, they didn't die about a heart attack or they were old. Each one of them died because of the gospel. For them to live was Christ. Jesus was everything. He was their salvation. He was everything. And He was their life. And just here, just James. Now we all know James. Hello, Isaac. Yeah, it's Isaac. Okay. James was killed with a sword. And they said, when the executor came to kill him, what happened? They saw his unrecanting, is that the right? Recanting spirit. And then that executor, he also gave his life there at the spot to Jesus, and he killed himself also. So both of them died there. Peter, he said, listen, I'm unworthy to be crucified like Jesus when they wanted to crucify him. So they crucified him upside down. That's how Peter died. He asked that, please, I'm not worthy to die as my master. Can you just turn the cross upside down so that I can die like that? And that's the way he died. Then I just think, Lord, what? How much do they love you? And how full must they be of you? How must their life be so consecrated and set apart for you if you can say to someone, listen, I don't want to die like Jesus died because I'm so unworthy to be crucified. Just think Peter going there. He should have understood exactly what it meant for Jesus to be dead on the cross. And remember, Peter was, he betrayed Jesus 3 times. Okay? And then he said to this guy, please, I can't die like Jesus died. Turn my cross upside down. Who was Jesus in his life? If he could have taken a selfie of his life, how full was that selfie of Jesus? Or was he still in the image? If he looked in the mirror, who did he see? Peter or Jesus? Thomas, he was, they threw him with spears, tormented him with hot plates, and burned him alive. That's how Thomas died. Matthew was beheaded. James, the other James, they took him up onto the temple, and they positioned him on top of the temple, and they said, deny Jesus, and he said, he will not, and he threw him down from the temple, and then they came and beaten him with a club, with a big stick. They came to kill him. John, we know John was thrown into boiling oil, and he didn't die. But then they were so afraid of him for the rest of his life, they sent him to Patmos where he wrote Revelation. So he was the only disciple that didn't die, that wanted to kill him, but he didn't. And then Paul was also beheaded. So I asked myself, why were these guys so radical? Why were they so crazy? Why? If people come to you with stones and fire and stuff, and they say, all that you have to do is deny Christ. Then you can live. And they said, no, I can't. Why not? Because Christ was their everything. Christ were their life. Christ were their salvation. Their whole life was built around Jesus. They were so full of Jesus. They were so full of Him. And then I asked myself also, like, if people come here in today, let's say, ISIS comes through these doors and they say, listen, come here with their stuff. Then I'll say, go out in Jesus' name. And if that doesn't work, then they say, listen, who here, if you want to not be killed tonight, deny Christ? Who will walk out of these doors and say, or stand here and say, no, I will never deny Christ. Just think in your heart. Okay. Then the last one of the F is Father. Yo. Jesus is our Father. So first is our salvation. Second, third, fourth, father. Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This is who we are. We are his sons. This is my identity. Listen, if you are looking for your identity, tum, 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 tum. There it is on the screen. You are a son of God. You have a spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. You're not, you don't have to be confused about who you are. You don't have to be confused about anything, because the truth is that you are, your identity is being a son and a daughter of God. That's who you are. Come on. It's good news, huh? Some people are looking for their identity in all of the wrong places, in rugby and in Gerard doen daarom nie, nee. Gerard? Serach. And in their studies, all of, I gaan nie dit sê nie, te veel. Slavie medische studente. Okay, but the good news is, guys, our identity is found in Jesus. Nothing else. I tried, and I think all of us, we are trying to find it in my friends and in my family or in my sport or in my culture. Then always we come back to this point, we say, oh Lord, it's in you. Okay? That's all we can find in. And that is why Jesus, if God asks you, listen, Jacobus, who am I in your life? He's my Father. My spirit cries out, Abba, Father. That father is like a daddy. It's a very intimate thing. It's a very, very intimate thing. God wants tonight to come and establish that in some of our lives here tonight. Amen. He wants to come and bring that into our lives. Oh, ek moet gaan maak. Okay. Then. So we said now, okay. Does this help you? This, what I'm saying tonight. First, he's my salvation. He's my life. He's my everything. And he's my father. Yeah. Okay, that's nogals next level, ne? Now, today, okay. So, before I go on, or this is part of what I want to say, is that you remember in the Old Testament, they have all of these feasts. Who have heard about the feast in the Old Testament? Okay. So, today is a feast in Israel. All of the Jewish people, and it's not the Jewish feast. I just want to make that clear. It's God's feast, okay? And when we look at the feast, all of the feast is pointing to Jesus, all right? So it's very important, it's very beautiful if we look at all these feasts and we see how it points to Jesus. Now today is the feast of the trumpet feast. So basically what it is about, and it's so awesome, in August we had this whole harvest month, ne? You remember we had this harvest month, all of the guest speakers. Now the Feast of the Trumpets is the Feast of the Harvest. It's very beautiful. So throughout, then all the people will bring in their harvest and they will blow shofars. Shofars is that ram's horn that we, some of us can do it also. So they bring in their harvest and then they blow the shofars. They blow it. They blow it. But this points then they bring in the harvest. Now, this feast is called the Feast of the Trumpets. And let's just quickly read how it is going in 1 Thessalonians. Listen here, because this speaks, this harvest, this feast is pointing to the day when Jesus will come and he will come and gather the harvest. Us. This feast is pointing to that. Listen very, very loud. I went through all of this because this is what we are going for. This is what we are living for. It's for that day when the trumpet blows and all of us will go. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I just want us to watch a video now that's going to just make this clear for us. Guys, while you're looking for, when we are looking to this video, ask yourself, yeah, am I going to be part of this when the shofar blows, when that trumpet sounds, boop, am I going to be part of this, people going? And the only way that you can be part of this, if this is established in your life, if you know who God is in your life, and if you know who other people can be also. So let's just look, wait for the, just imagine one day, guys, all of us standing before God and worshiping Him day and night, singing with all the angels, worthy, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. I want the band just to go up, to come up. And as you looked at this video, I asked myself, yes, Lord. Firstly, if you're here tonight and you're not sure if you're going to be part of those people going up to God, and I say, there's good news for you tonight. But the second one thing I want to challenge you is with who in your life you know is not going to be there when the trumpet blows. Who is those people in your life that's going to remain behind? And they will not go up with all of us, go up and to worship God and to praise God and to live eternally with Him, with our Father. You see, that's why these disciples, see, that's why Paul and all of James and Mark and Luke and all of them said, listen, there's not a way on this earth that I will keep silent. No one can keep me silent. Why? Because I have realized this, that one day there will be a trumpet, and that trumpet will blow, and the harvest will go up. And if you're not part of that harvest, you will stay behind. And the revelation teaches us then, God will pour out His judgment on this world. You don't want to be here. That movie is not going to be nice. You don't want to see that. And that's why Paul said, listen, Jesus is everything. That's why I want to stand here tonight. And I want to plead from you guys. Guys, come to know Jesus. Come to know Jesus. Let Him be. Let Him be your salvation. Let Him be your everything. Let Him be your life. Let Him be your Father. Because that day is glorious. That day when the trumpet will blow. And all of us will go in an instant. We will be changed, Scripture says. We will be transformed and we will fall on our faces for the rest of eternity. It's either that or it's the darkness for the rest of your life. Guys, our life is so short here on earth. Stop living for just to get your degree and just to get a wife and a husband. Get an eternal purpose. Because that is what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. If you don't know that, for the rest of your lives, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, we are going to worship God. We are going to fall and say, worthy, worthy, worthy. That is what we are living for. That is what our goal is to come to say, yes, Lord, and to take others with us. To take others with us. I want to read one scripture. Won't you all just stand with me tonight? Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You see, the reason why Paul and all of them said, for me to know Christ, because they have found that treasure. That treasure has been revealed to them. They could see it and it changed their lives. And I ask the Lord, Lord, what is this? How can I come into this place of just say, yes, Lord, everything that I do, everything that I breathe, everything that I eat, I want to do it for You. How big is that treasure in your life? How big is that treasure in your life? Some of us, that treasure haven't even been opened up. There's nothing. You're not even in the field. You know you're here tonight and you know, listen, I'm not. When that trumpet is going to sound and the all of the dead will rise, I'm going to stay here behind. Don't walk out of this church tonight not knowing. Not knowing Christ. Not coming to that place where you say, yes, Lord, come open that treasure in my life. This is far beyond any fear of man. Guys, this is eternal. This is eternity that we are doing. And I'm so tired in my life. I am so tired. I'm so tired of giving just a seconds to Jesus. I'm so tired of just a small little time that I have left in my day to give that to Jesus. I want God to come tonight in my heart and say, to open that treasure even more. I want Jesus to come tonight and open that treasure so that I can see Him so much more in my life. Because I want to go with that trumpet. I want to go to God and say, yes, Lord, here I am. I don't want to live for this life anymore. For me to live must be Christ. And to die must be even better. Have you found that treasure? Have you found that treasure yet in your life? The gift of eternal life. Jesus. Because Jesus is that treasure. What are you doing to bring in the harvest? What are you doing to make sure that people will join you when that trumpet blows? And the harvest will go up. Are you so focused just on yourself? So focused and everything that you do, you plan it according to yourself. You're not even thinking about, yo, Lord, can I just quickly go and pray about this? Immediately say, no, there's no way. I can't do it. I have too much studies. I'm so tired of hearing that excuse every time. I have too much studies. I can't come to small group. I can't do that. Then you're planning your life around your studies and you're not planning it around God. What is in your life? If you will stand here tonight and you will take a selfie of your life, what is in that selfie? What is in that selfie? If you must think about your life, is God just there small in the corner like a photo bomb? He's just there at the back. Is God just a photo bomb in your selfie? Or is God in the center of your selfie? And all the other things that is at the back of Him. Because that's how it must be. It can't be the other way around. I'm sorry, guys. It can't be the other way around.